The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter Number 13, Texts Number 47 and 48, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 7th, 2009, in Timișoara, Romania.
So today we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity by Srila Prabhupada to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter Number 13, Texts Number 47 and 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jiva Paniya. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vana Malina. Shivat Sangada Doratna. Kumbhakan Kanapaniya. Niparai Katakair Bhata. Katishrutan Guliyakai. Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra. Gadara Jiva Paniya. Kiritina Kundalino. Harino Vana Malina. Shivat Sangada Doratna. Kambukan Kanapaniya. Nuparai Kutakair Bhata. Katishrutan Guliyakai. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Our Savior. All those personalities had four arms holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chests was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the kastuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their waists, on their wrists. With bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts around their waists, they all appeared very beautiful. Purport. All the Vishnu forms had four arms with conch shell and other articles. But these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, and who consequently have four arms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appearing before Lord Brahma also possessed the mark of Sri Vatsa and the Kastuba gem, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely His associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu Himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently, for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Sri Vatsa mark is described by the Vaishnava Toshini as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Panakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva. Sadaita Savadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. It's interesting to know that something can be inconceivable, but yet not astonishing. For us, the inconceivable is astonishing. That's why it's inconceivable. But for Krishna, there's nothing inconceivable and nothing astonishing. For us, the whole concept of Krishna is astonishing. That there is a person who exists without any cause other than himself, who exists just for the sheer pleasure of existing, in a place which is his own creation, not out of nothing, but out of himself. And to expand his enjoyment expands from himself an unlimited number of living entities. He expands from himself two categories, Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. The Vishnu Tattvas, they are his partners. They are he himself in his full opulence as Vishnu. And then they are called integrated expansions. And then, to make even more variety and more flavor, more sweetness, he expands from himself the separated expansions, the jiva tattvas. He endows these jiva tattvas with the free choice to serve him or not to serve him, to love him or to leave him. Practically no one would ever want to leave Krishna. But because there is an unlimited number of living beings manifested by Krishna, an unlimited number of jiva souls, and because each and every one of these infinite number of jiva souls have the free choice of loving Krishna or leaving him. It so happens that a very small, infinitesimal fraction of the total number of these infinite beings misuse their free will. But Krishna provides a safety net for them so that they can regain their senses, so they can regain their sanity and come back to their original position of servitude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for us, this is indeed astonishing, this whole arrangement. Even this human body that each of us has, it's very astonishing how it functions. Darwin has tried to explain it as a product of natural selection. But his explanation is flawed. It's not that by a random combination of material elements you can get something so well constructed as a human body. It's not possible. It's like here you have this nice temple room. You see, very nice temple room. Marble floor, marble altar, nicely made temple room. You see. So if I told you that we took all of these ingredients, all the tiles and all the pieces of wood and the wires and the lighting fixtures, and we laid it in one stack and then we threw some dynamite and this is the result. Would you believe me? Or do you think I'm crazy? But the scientists, they expect us to believe them when they tell us such a thing about the universe. They expect us to believe them. You see. There was a big bang and here it is. And if you don't believe them, you're considered a fanatic. Can you imagine how insane the world is? And these are the people that actually are the real leaders, psychological, philosophical leaders of this planet right now, the scientists, not the religionists. These scientists have become the high priests of the new religion. Science has become the religion of this planet, predominating religion. You look in the news any day, it'll say yes. There's always news articles coming out which accept as gospel the Big Bang, accept as gospel Darwin's theory. They're just taken as gospel. It's like New York City is in the United States and, you know, Bucharest is in Romania, are accepted as facts, you see, in the news. And in the same factual way they talk about, you know, the Big Bang and all these things, just like they're facts, like everything else. Like, you know, Timisoara is also here in Romania as a fact. So these are stated as facts in the news. And the common people read all of this and they go, oh yes, that's the way it is. You see. So there's something terribly wrong with our world situation. These persons have somehow weaseled their way into positions of authority. They've given themselves big titles, doctor this, doctor that. But as far as we're concerned, they are Dr. Frog. You know that Dr. Frog? He had a little well. But he was very proud of his well. He was thinking, this body of water, which is my well, it is the biggest body of water in the whole world. He was very proud as he was croaking in his well, kuk-a-craw, kuk-a-craw. But little Froggy Fred, little Freddy Frog, he was an adventurous little frog. He decided to go, although he was a student of Dr. Frog, he decided one day just to do a little hopping around. You see, he went hopping, one hop, another hop. And someone, he heard some mention about a big body of water called the Atlantic Ocean. And it was so many hops away. So he thought he was a little curious, you see. So he thought he would just keep hopping in the direction they told him. So he went hop, one hop, another hop, 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 hop. He hopped like anything. And sure enough, he made it to the Atlantic Ocean, and he couldn't believe it. Wow, this is amazing. Humongous water, as far as the eye can see. He was amazed. That little well of Dr. Frog was, maybe 10 feet wide, but now he was seeing something you couldn't, it was inconceivable to him, but he, in just awe, he just, in a state of awe, he contemplated this huge body of water, and he said, I have to try to comprehend what I'm seeing so I can go back and tell Dr. Frog about this. So after he'd spent a little time, he rested up from his long trek. He started hopping back to Dr. Frog's well, and in due course of time, he arrived there. He was so excited. Dr. Frog! Dr. Frog, there's an... I found a body of water bigger than your well. He said, what? You're crazy. Don't you know my well is the biggest body of water in all of existence? Dr. Frog, this well is nothing. There is a huge body of water, so many hundreds and thousands of times bigger than your well. Dr. Frog was devastated to hear such a thing. Then he said, is it this much bigger than my well? He puffed his chest out a little bit, you see. No, Dr. Frog, it's thousands of times bigger than that. Is it this much bigger? In this way, he's puffing his chest out like the frogs can do, you see. No, Dr. Frog, it's much, much bigger than that. It's thousands of times. Finally, he burst himself out so much he died, you see. So, these scientists, they are simply the Dr. Frogs. That's all. They puff them, their chests out very big, and people are amazed. Oh, he has such, he's able to puff his chest out so far, he must be very learned, you see. They speak in big, big words. They razzle-dazzle your brain with all these big, fancy words, you see, that nobody knows what they're talking about. So no one wants to admit that they're ignorant, you see. So they just applaud them. Oh, they must be very great. Everybody applauds them. I don't know what he's talking about, but everybody else is applauding him. In this way, you see. Kind of like that story of the emperor's new clothes, you know. Everybody's saying, oh, the emperor's new clothes are so wonderful, you see. Everybody can see that he's naked, but nobody dares to say it, except for a little kid, you know. So, in this way, like the emperor's new clothes are going on with all their big, big theories, you see. All these Dr. Frogs are puffing their chests up. And all the students are saying, yes, Dr. Frog, you're so wonderful, you see. Of course, if the doctor becomes devotee, then he is. Then he is worshipable, you see. He is honorable. Just like we have many PhDs in our movement. Those PhDs, they are the real PhDs, you see. One who understands who is God, he is the real PhD. But these atheistic PhDs, who deny the existence of God, you see, they are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shva Vidvara Ushtra Karai Sangstutak Purushak Pushu Najatta Karma Pato Peto Jatunamagadagrajaha. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So, they may be advertised as big, big PhD, big, big Nobel laureate, big, big scientist. But Bhagavatam says, dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So, we should no longer listen to these dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. We should listen to the great acharyas, Mahajano, Yena, Gutta, Sapanta. We should follow the path of the acharyas, not the path of the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. If we follow this pathway, our lives will be glorious. If we follow the other pathway, our lives will be completely wasted. So let us follow the glorious road of unlimited devotion, that golden, glorious road of unlimited devotion, chalked out by the great acharyas. Our life will be successful. And let us try to induce the whole population of this planet to also become free from the spell of these so-called PhDs and to come under the direction of the great acharyas. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
You say that the scientists in Big Bang, does anybody ask where the Big Bang happened? If you throw a dynamite, someone has to throw the dynamite.
Yes, if there's a big explosion, the police would come. What is the cause of this explosion, you see? So, these scientists should have enough intelligence as a common citizen would have to ask, well, what is the cause of this Big Bang, you see? Actually, Prabhupada explains, that is the glance of Mahavishnu. That glance of Mahavishnu is the energizing force which sets the material energy into motion. So that is actually the Big Bang, Mahavishnu's glance. He has an explosive glance, you could say. Very powerful glance, just by his glance, you see. He's so powerful, he impregnates the entire material nature, just imagine, you see. We are not so powerful, you see. If we want to make our wife pregnant, we cannot do that just by looking at her, you see. We have to have sex with our wife to make her pregnant. But Mahavishnu, he can impregnate the whole universe just by glancing. That is his great power, you see. So in this way, they should be asking, where does this Big Bang come from? What is the cause of the Big Bang, you see? They may be asking. I'm sure that somebody has a theory of what caused the Big Bang. I mean, everybody's looking for name and fame. So I'm sure somebody has a theory of what caused the Big Bang. There's got to be somebody who's working on that theory. Many of them, I'm sure, want to get the credit for having discovered the cause of the Big Bang. You see? But we already know. We don't have to wait around for the speculators for 10 million years to see if they can finally figure it out. We don't have to wait around. See, we already know the cause of the Big Bang.
Yeah. So, in the sense that the general populace is so dull-headed.
What is it?
The general populace who
accepts. Yes, the general population. What is that? The simply mudha. Abhijananti mang mudha. You see. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. Chapter 7, text number, what is that? Text number,
See, text. I forget the text number. Anyway.
So yeah, that Krishna says they are simply mudas. Those who deride him, abhijananti mang mudha. Those who deride me, they are foolish like asses. That's them. So the whole population, they become reduced to the level of asses. Karai. You see? That's a fact. Any other questions? All right. Okay, go ahead.
Sometimes we are afraid of something. This is a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness.
Sometimes.
We are afraid.
Afraid?
Yes.
Of what?
Something is happening. I can say that.
We are afraid of something that is then the sign of lack of Krishna consciousness.
Oh yeah, if you have fear, that means it's a sign of you're forgetting Krishna. A devotee is completely fearless because he understands Krishna protects him in all situations. Mahatmanastu mang partha devim prakritam ashrataha padjanyananya manaso gyatabhutadamam yuyam. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine energy. You see, they feel that protection of the divine energy of Krishna at every minute. They have absolutely no fear. So if you get fearful, it means you're forgetting the reality. Krishna protects his devotees. That Krishna is bestowing his causeless mercy upon his devotees at every second and every conceivable way, every experience they have at every second is Krishna's mercy being bestowed upon them. So one has to be convinced of Krishna's mercy, and then there's no fear. Mare Krishna rake Krishna mare ke. You know that stuff? Yeah. If Krishna wants to kill me, that's fine. I'm ready. Kill me right now, Krishna. Whatever you want. This body is yours. If you want to kill it and take me somewhere else to serve in another world, I'm ready right now. Take me. Or if you want to keep it here so I can keep doing my nonsense on this planet for a while longer, that's all right. You see? Whatever you want, Krishna. Whatever Krishna does is all right. If we had time, I'd tell that story, but we don't have time. That's a whole other story. Whatever Krishna does is all right. Next time, I'll tell that story. But the fact, whatever Krishna does is all right. He can do anything he wants to with me. He can handle me roughly by his embrace, or he can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He's free to do anything and everything, but he remains my worshipful Lord unconditionally. If you have that mood, you'll never be afraid of anything, except for one thing, and that's forgetting Krishna. The only fear a devotee has is the fear of forgetting Krishna. Therefore, he's always desperately chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. For fear that you forget Krishna. You see. He's always calling out to Krishna, begging, please let me never forget you, my Lord. Please, Krishna. Please, please, never let me forget you. Let me never forget you. You see, that's his only fear, is forgetting Krishna. So, it's 8:05, so I think I'm supposed to stop now. So we'll stop here so everybody can go to work or whatever. Go to the bakery or whatever duties you may have. So, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And thank you all once again for so kindly receiving us. We're heading out today to Budapest and on to Bulgaria and Copenhagen. So we thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful kindness. We look forward to coming back again next year. Hare Krishna.